Well, blessed evening. I am Prophetic Ram family. God bless you and thank you so much for having me yet once again. I want to honor the grace upon the woman of God, Prophetess Agnes Emmanuel Avako. What a blessing this woman of God is to us, and I'm so thankful to God for being here again. I want to tell you that I love your family. It's been long, but I want you to know that we are together in the spirit. We may not be together physically, but in the spirit, we're still together. You're such a beautiful and wonderful family. Yeah, so I'm just going to share just a few things. I'm sorry for coming late. I was out somewhere I've just reached. And so the Lord bless you so much. How is Uganda? How is Tanzania? How is Malawi? How is South Africa? How is the USA? How is the country where you are in? How is Kenya? And to my fellow Zambians, how is Zambia? And in short, all to you Africans, how is Africa? To the Americans, how is the USA? And to the Australians, to the Europeans, how is your continent? How are you doing? So God bless you. And I'm so excited to be back with the Word of God. And I want you to know that tonight I'm just going to share something briefly. And I believe that it's going to help us by the grace of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's read also from St. Luke. There's a part that I want us to pay attention to, St. Luke chapter number 22, and reading from verse number 31. And the Lord said unto Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you out without purse and scrip and shoes and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. All right. So, brethren, I want us to start it right from there, and we can see that Simon Peter is receiving words from the Lord Jesus, and the words of that he was going to deny knowing the Lord three times. And he was going to do it publicly. Simon Peter was going to say it from the bottom of his heart that he doesn't know Jesus, and that he was going to actually adamantly reject knowing Jesus in the presence, or maybe in the face of death, in the face of the temptation, you know, of death. And so we can see that Jesus Christ is telling Simon. Now, you see, Jesus, first of all, did not immediately talk to Simon about Simon denying him. But Jesus was talking about his death. And Simon Peter gave him a word of assurance that's according to St. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33. Simon Peter said, though all men shall be offended of thee, yet will I never be offended of thee. Now, it is clear that Simon Peter is talking about his commitment towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter is speaking about his faith at that time. He says, I have this faith. I have this love for you, Jesus. I have this seriousness about my commitment. And I want to say that the way I feel right now is that everyone else can desert you, but not me. I'm going to stick around you. I'll be right with you regardless of the situations. Now, I think at the beginning of the faith, we all might have made certain statements. And this is what I want us to look at today. So at the beginning of our faith, we all made statements. There are things that we said we'd never do in life. We said We will never disappoint the Lord on certain things, you know, that we saw everybody else do them. We said we were never going to fail to reach out to people, maybe at even at a certain level of ministry. We were going to still evangelize from street to street, that we are not going to need any protocol. We are never going to need anybody make appointment, but we are going to reach out to everybody that is requiring of us, that is requiring of our attention at any time. But then as the work begins to grow, how do we remain sure to the words that we said earlier on? Now, when we're beginning, the Lord knew what mistakes we're going to make in life and what changes that we're going to make in life. But you see, we made an assurance right at the beginning that, Lord, we are going to maintain this kind of journey, this kind of principles, this kind of understanding. Now, my question is, if you found yourself in a situation like Simon Peter, not standing with your words, not standing with your confession, and this is a confession that you made in the presence of the other believers, the people that hate you speak and make certain confessions, you know, and now you find yourself in a situation like that of Peter, that you are no longer the person that confessed what you confessed. You are not what you said you are going to be. You did not stick to your promise, but you have actually moved away from the promise that you made. And so what do you feel about your life, that you are no longer the person that you promised yourself to be? Prophet Joseph shared something with me. He shared with me that there is a brother who made a vow to God because he had an addiction. And so he said, Lord, the day I'm going to find myself in this addiction, kill me. And so he made that vow before God. And then the time came of temptation, and the addiction began to actually give him an age, you know, to do it. So the brother decided rather to break the vow and fulfill the addiction. He said, I break the vow so that I can do the addiction. And so he went later on and told prophet and said, look, brother, I actually had this urge, and so I remembered my vow, and so I decided to break the vow so that I can fulfill the addiction. Now, how many of us have broken the vows? How many of us have broken what we said before? And how do we feel about it today? Now, I want you to look at Simon Peter when he had done this. The Bible says, when he rejected Jesus, he went and wept bitterly. Do you know what that means to a man when he begins to cry, when he weeps bitterly, when his heart is disturbed? He knows what exactly he has done, and he knows what that means to him. And Jesus had looked at him, and Simon Peter knew what exactly he had done right in the face of his master. There's nothing as painful as failing the Lord, and you know it that you have messed up, you know it that you failed the Lord, and you feel that you're no longer the person that you used to be. Maybe you had said you would never take a drink, a strong drink, or an alcoholic drink. And here you are, you found yourself having done it. Maybe you said you would never in your life ever commit sexual immorality. You would never ever commit to sexual immorality, and you find yourself in the very act you have done it. You said you would never steal. You are right there. You're not doing it. You said you would never do anything that is disgracing in the eyes of God, but then you found yourself doing it. How does that touch your heart? How does that rob you of your confidence in God? You know, there are times that you see when you find yourself in situation like that, Really, it's heartbreaking. There are many believers, and I'm not just talking about believers, but I'm talking about men and women of God who have found themselves in things they preached against right at the beginning of their ministry, or even in the process of their ministry. They preached so passionately against these things, but then later on they found themselves doing it. Let me give an example of Jimmy Swaggart, because his issue was right in the public. I have so much respect for that man of God. Jimmy Swaggart was a tele-evangelist who preached the word of God to millions and millions of people, to different nations. And Jimmy Swaggart was a preacher of righteousness. With time, Jimmy Swaggart found himself in a compromised situation, and everybody that heard his messages began to replay them. Jimmy Swaggart felt mocked by his own actions and mocked by the people. You see, even those that never followed you at that time, they come in the open and say, "Do you know how much you inspired me? Do you know how much I spoke to my wife about you? Do you know I was transformed because of you? Do you know I was addicted to the same thing, and now I was delivered because of your message, and you finding yourself in this thing? What does that mean?" Now, do you know how much it breaks your heart? Jimmy Swaggart wept in the church, in the presence of his children, in the presence of his wife, in the presence of the church, in front of the camera. That man of God, I've got great respect for him. Now, that really breaks your heart. Now, Jimmy Swaggart was able to stand and continue preaching the word of God. Now, many times when you fail like that, many people will say, "Leave the pulpit, leave the podium, don't preach to nobody because you are a hypocrite." Now, they call you a hypocrite as though they themselves have never done a thing. And so Peter went through a situation that broke his heart. Just like we saw Jimmy Swaggart weep in front of the camera, Peter went and wept. Remember that Peter was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that this was a close man of God to the master himself. Remember that this is the man the master had been committing a lot of responsibilities to. He was a leader, and he is found to be the one that is saying, "Lord, I don't know you. I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about." And he's cursing. You know, he had been cursing. He's a cursing apostle, and you can see him cursing. What's happening to the other ones? And he feels, if I can do this, what about the rest? Because I appear to be the stronger one. Where the rest? What's happening to the rest? My question is, Jesus was very much aware that Peter was going to go through this kind of a thing, and Jesus still allowed it. God Almighty still allowed it. Now, I'm asking myself a question. Now, when you look at Peter, Peter is saying, "Lord, look, everyone else can fail, not me. You see, Lord, I'm going to stand, and I'm ready even at a point of death." And Peter says, "Everyone else can fail you. Everyone else can be offended, but I'm not going to be offended." Now, you can see that Peter was so confident of himself. He was confident in his own abilities, in his own power. And you don't see him relying on the grace of God, but at least he is so sure that in himself, he was going to stand and not disappoint the Lord. Now, please do understand that the Lord Jesus Christ loves Peter. And do understand that Almighty God, Jehovah, loves Peter. And he is aware that Peter will actually fall into the trap. Peter will fail the Lord. And Jesus said, now look, in the book of St. Luke, Jesus says, "I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail." But he says that when you are restored, strengthen your brethren. Now, Jesus is not praying that Peter will not experience a situation. But Jesus is saying that Peter, you should still be able to have faith even after you have gone through what you're going through. Now, that's not going to be anything good. It's going to be something that will disturb you, something that you're not supposed to say, something you're not supposed to do. You will say words you're not supposed to say. And Jesus knows very well what Peter is going to say. But Jesus doesn't pray that Peter will not say it. But Jesus says that he prays that Peter will have the ability or the strength to be restored. Oh my God. You have the ability to be restored. You have the ability to come back. Now, please, I want you to know that as I'm speaking right now, there are men and women of God, quite a number of them, that are into issues right now, and the Lord knows pretty well. When they were beginning in their faith, they were so zealous for the Lord, and they prayed, and they walked in the righteousness of God, and they said they were never going to do any of these things, and today they are right into those things. Question, did the Lord know they were going to go through that? Oh, yes, he did, just like he did about Peter. What was the Lord's prayer for Peter? The Lord's prayer for Peter is that he would be restored, that his faith would not fail. And that when Peter is restored, that he would strengthen his brethren. He would learn to restore those that have failed. He would still stand and be the apostle that the Lord called him to be. Oh my God. It's not an easy situation. It's easy to talk about it if you are not in Peter's shoes. It's easy to talk about it if you have never failed before. But if you have failed, it's one of those experiences you don't want anybody to go through. And this is what Peter's story is like. I know if I ask people right here that as pastors, is there anything that you have done that you're not proud of? Is there anything that you have done that you wouldn't want any believer to do it and a pastor to do it? There are things that you have done that you would pray that, Lord, may this remain a secret until I meet you in glory. You know, there are things that the Lord is pretty aware that we have done. And then what is the Lord's desire for our lives is restoration. When you are restored, strengthen your brothers. Now, let me mention something here in conclusion. I want us to understand the depth of this matter. It is easier for one to commit sexual immorality, for one to drink alcohol and be drunk in the public, for one to actually even be a witch and be anything that you can be. It's not as weighty, it's not as heavy as rejecting Jesus. I want you to imagine yourself as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a believer in Christ Jesus, saying to the people that are really expecting you to confess your faith, and you tell them that you don't know Jesus, you are not associating yourself with him. What does it mean to you? It's the one that has committed sexual immorality and still confesses Jesus is Lord is better than you that is standing to say, I do not know Jesus, I have nothing to do with Jesus. Now, remember to say, this is something that is more serious. You can actually, you understand that salvation is by your confession of the Lordship of Christ. Salvation is when you identify yourself with Christ, and Christ says, whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess him before my Father in heaven. And Peter knew pretty well that the Lord has said this. Whoever rejects me, whoever denies me before men, I will deny him. I will reject him before my Father in heaven. And Peter had received these words. Jesus had already said that whoever must come after me must take up his own cross and follow me. And Peter knew pretty well that Jesus had said these words. And this is Peter now standing and saying, well, I'm now ready to fulfill my destiny. I am denying knowing Jesus Christ. I'm denying my associations with Jesus Christ and just feel how it feels to reject Jesus and disassociate yourself with Christ and saying, I'm not belonging to Christ. Now just look at the darkness around your life at that time. Just see the emptiness of your life. Just see how it feels to be away from Christ. Brethren, if one can recover from this kind of an error, there is nothing that you have done that you cannot recover from. And the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to forgive Peter of this kind of an error, this kind of a sin. Oh my God, this kind of a sin. Peter is getting forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that you have done? There are errors that you could have made, but you still confess Jesus is Lord. And I want to tell you that Peter recovered. You can recover. The church can recover. My brother, my sister, you can recover. You can recover. You can recover in the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, when you have recovered, restore the rest of the others. When you have recovered, do not condemn anybody. Do not judge anybody, but restore those that you know have gone in the path that you have taken before. Be full of compassion and restore them. It's like the Lord allows Peter to go through what he has gone through so that Peter's heart can be dealt with. So that Peter's heart can be humble. Peter's heart can be gentle because Peter was going to be the shepherd of the sheep. And to be a shepherd of the sheep, you need to understand when the sheep is failing themselves, when the sheep is confused, when the sheep is fearful, when the sheep is bitter, when the sheep is crying, when the sheep can't trust again. You must have gone through it so that you can be an encouragement to the sheep. And so Peter has gone through it, and the Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for him. And you are right where you are today, and you can be wondering how on earth you could have gone through what you have gone through, how on earth you could have committed the offenses that you have committed. But the Lord says, when you are restored, strengthen your brethren. Use your testimony to strengthen the brethren that God is merciful, that God is gracious, that God is all kind, that God is all gracious to your life, that God is the savior of all humanity, that you cannot stand by your own strength, but in the strength of God, you shall stand. Glory be to God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you have a testimony that God is good? You can stand with that testimony and save the world. May God bless you. God increase you. And remember that Peter cried bitterly and God forgave him. It might have taken time for him to heal from whatever he did, but eventually he healed. The Lord Jesus helped him to heal. The Lord Jesus held him by the hand and said, "Follow me, Simon Peter." That was after the resurrection. Jesus helped Simon Peter heal. You might be listening to me right now. Jesus is helping you heal. He's helping you heal. You might have embarrassed yourself in the public, but Jesus is helping you heal. It may not be easy, but Jesus is helping you heal. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ and be restored. The Lord bless you and the Lord bless your heart. The Lord bless the church and the Lord restore every believer that feels they have failed the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you find yourself in a situation where you have messed up and you feel that you need some restoration and you need some help, please do remember that you need people around. You need somebody that you can talk to, somebody that's going to help you stand again on your feet, so that you can be that vessel that God is going to work with to restore many lives. And please do remember that it's a mercy that has been shown to you that you show unto others. And so we have our woman of God that we can always approach talk to her about our shortcomings, and I believe that she's going to help us in prayer and in counseling. Sometimes you really need to open up for you to be helped. We have leaders, we have men and women of God that we can approach in our churches, people that are credible, people that we have great respect for. We can always reach out to them and receive their help. And so please do understand that if you don't reach out, you can die from an issue that you could have healed from. And so God bless you. And I want you to know that I love you and Jesus loves you more. And much more respect once again to the woman of God and all the men and the men of God and the women of God and the entire leadership in the I Am Prophetic Realm. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been your brother and friend, Apostle Joseph Sibanda. I am so glad to have been here. The Lord is with you. Shalom.